This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Under center, Darnold, first and goal at the 7-yard line. Darnold with a rushing touchdown in the first quarter. Hands it off on a jet sweep to the near side and walking into the end zone for a touchdown is the tight end, Tommy Tremble. You rarely see a tight end jet sweep.
It's Nick Costos and Mark Melusis on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Digging the knife in deeper. Never see a jet sweep to a tight end. Well, listen, I bet Carolina's tight end anytime touchdown last night. Turns out it was the wrong one. Tommy Tremble, not Dan Orlov. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Westwood 1 on the call there as the Panthers take down the Texans 24-9. Panthers cover, obviously, the game line. They covered all our teaser legs as well that we gave out yesterday on You Better You Bet. And the game goes under the total. So good thing we did not play that contrarian over as we had discussed. Ken and I in the Power Hour, the discussion we had kind of should have probably led me towards a bet on the under. Maybe some slight bet regret for me there. We'll get to this game in a second, but just want to tell everybody, YouTube, on Twitch, tweets that we've received earlier today. Is it true, Mark Melusis, that you will have a horse racing bet for us at some point during the show today, possibly for this afternoon or for Saturday?
I'll have something today. Either Belmont or Churchill Downs, both are running, so I'll have a pick. It'll probably be in the last couple races at one of those two tracks. But yes, I will have a selection. I think I'm like 3-for-3 in my last three picks here on You Better You Bet. So during races that happen while the show is going on. So let's make it 4-for-4 today. I'll have a selection later on. I'll fire it out. I'll give everyone enough time to be able to get their bets in.
That's why he is the great Mark Melusis, giving us horse racing winners in addition to sterling sports betting analysis here on BetQL. As we said, Panthers cover against the Texans in every which way. Game goes under the total. Sam Darnold, 304 passing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns for Sammy D. He was like a great fantasy quarterback through 3 weeks of the season. Panthers improved to 3-0. Davis Mills, 19 of 28, 168 yards passing, 1 touchdown, no picks. I thought he actually played pretty decently in his first NFL start. The big news fantasy-wise and kind of real-life-wise coming out of this game, Christian McCaffrey hamstring injury in the first half. Going to miss multiple weeks with that injury here. We'll kind of get to the aftermath of that, how you should approach it fantasy-wise, what it means for Carolina next week against Dallas here. But Moose, your takes from last night as Sam Darnold and the Panthers moved to 3-0. Winning and covering against the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, narrative-wise, Nick, I kind of like what you're seeing from Darnold down there in Carolina. You mentioned he's been a good fantasy quarterback. He's been a good NFL quarterback. He's got 6 touchdowns in the first 3 weeks, whether it be on the ground or through the air. And, you know, he's got over the 300-yard passing mark the last couple of games. Now, you know, the performance by the Panthers defense week 2 against the Saints, I think, was really kind of the highlight. But week 1 offensively, I think people looked at Sam Darnold and said, well, you've got Christian McCaffrey to dump the football off to. I think last night the most impressive thing was that's a 7-6 game at the half. You know, momentum going the Texans' way, even with the missed extra point. You know, the 4th-and-1 failure by Carolina in the first half, and you're saying, oh, no, they don't have Christian McCaffrey. How is this going to look for Sam Darnold and the Carolina Panthers in the second half? And you know, stop them defensively, take over at their own 9-yard line, and then go on that 91-yard touchdown drive in, what, 11 or 12 plays, and off the Carolina Panthers went. So I think the McCaffrey injury is going to be huge for this team. I would imagine he's going to miss multiple weeks dealing with that hamstring injury. You look at J.C. Horn defensively. He's now out with that broken foot, and you feel terrible for him. You know, they're a first-round draft choice coming out of South Carolina. But I think Sam Darnold is taking a step forward. And you feel, I agree with you, Nick, in a way, watching that game with Davis Mills coming out of Stanford, he doesn't have a lot to work with. You know, you've got Brandon Cooks, who he seems like he's eyeballing every single time he's looking to throw the football, but doesn't have a ton to work with. I thought for his first NFL start, I don't think he embarrassed himself. Like, there are reasons, you know, he's got a good arm. When he's got time, I think, as Aikman pointed out on the broadcast last night, He can make the throws. Unfortunately, there are times where he doesn't really recognize what the hell's going on the field.
Yeah, the J.C. Horn injury that you referenced is just a massive one. And candidly here, like once we get away from kind of fantasy football stuff with Christian McCaffrey, and I understand that he's a great player. He's the best running back in the league, likely, right? He's the RB1 like perpetually here in fantasy football. Losing J.C. Horn, I think, hurts the Carolina Panthers as a football team more than losing Christian McCaffrey does. Horn was like quickly showing that he has everything you want in a number one cornerback, not just the cover skills, but coming up to make some tackles, right? Normally we see cornerbacks, Moose, kind of like unwilling and reticent to kind of come up and get dirty, right? In terms of making the tackles. J.C. Horn was an absolute stud as far as that was concerned. And we saw for the third consecutive week now, this young, talented Carolina defense with an excellent coordinator and Phil Snow, kind of like getting after the opposing offense, getting after the opposing quarterback, whether it's Brian Burns or Shaq Thompson. I love me some Jeremy Chinn, right? And J.C. Horn as well. And now they lose like the centerpiece of this cornerback group and could be out for the entire season. It's probably going to be like at least a 2-month injury per like a lot of the insiders making these reports right now. I still like this Panthers defense quite a bit here, and they are going to get AJ Bouye back next week. So that's going to help a little bit. But I mean, it's definitely a blow to the Carolina Panthers, Moose, defensively and as a football team. And again, I'll say it. I think that J.C. Horn losing him is going to impact the Panthers' wins and losses, not fantasy, but wins and losses on the field more than Christian McCaffrey will.
Well, and just think about that, Nick, you might end up being right. I mean, it's tough because of how good McCaffrey is catching the ball and running the ball coming out of the backfield and really how he can help your quarterback, and he's an impossible cover when you look at opposing defenses. Says a lot about how good Horn has been here early on before he broke his foot last night against the Houston Texans. And I don't have a tendency to disagree with you because of where this league is, right? This is a passing league. You're in a league where they're desperate to throw the football. They're pleading with you to throw the football every single down. Now you take Horn out of the mix for the Carolina Panthers, and a guy that they were going to lean on heavily, you know, going up against number one wideouts, and you know, AJ Bouye, he's not what Horn is going to be or what they thought he was going to be for this defense. So I would have a tendency to agree with you. I think it's just how good. I don't want to insult McCaffrey. Like, he's such he's not just a fantasy running back. Like, he's a ridiculously good NFL player. Like, he's a great.
He is.
Like, there are guys that are great player. Like, he's a great football player. Like, Christian McCaffrey is a great football player. So
he's a running back.
But you look at the impact. Carolina wins the game last night. They're now 3-0. Darnold has answered the call the last 3 weeks. We'll see if he can continue to grow and progress, right? You've got a good coaching staff. But in one game, Carolina, you take out their best cover corner in Horn, and now you take out their best probably playmaker on offense in Christian McCaffrey. How does that look as we were talking about their next game when they take on the Dallas Cowboys?
What do you say to the people out there, Moose? And there are a good amount of them who think that the Panthers are incredibly fraudulent, who look at the Panthers' start like, great, you beat Zach Wilson in his first start. You took down a Jameis Winston Saints-led team, right, that was due for a letdown after the week one demolition of the Packers. Beat the Texans last night, who a lot of people think is either the worst or the second worst team in the league, along with Jacksonville. People think Carolina's kind of fraudulent here. I don't know if I'm there just because I think this defense is really talented. I love Matt Rhule, Joe Brady, Phil Snow, and this coaching staff. Darnold has shown me enough, not where I don't think he's like on the Aaron Rodgers, like Patrick Mahomes level, but I think he can win games in the National Football League, which he could not do with Adam Gase and the Jets. So I don't want to go so far as to say that I think the Panthers are like an upper echelon team in the National Football League. I also, though, don't think this team is fraudulent at 3-0.
No, neither do I. But I mean, that's where we get into the weeds about how you define. Are they, you know, when you look at undefeated teams, like are they of the caliber of like in, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
No.
The answer to that is no. They're not the Tampa Bay Bucs. Do I look at them as being like right now a Super Bowl contender? No. But yes, they took advantage. They beat the Jets. They beat the Saints, and they beat the Houston Texans. Okay, they're 3-0. You want to say it's not the most impressive run? Fair. You can have an argument and make that, but I'd rather be 3-0 and improving and now trying to overcome some injuries with this team than be 1-2 or 2-1. They're an undefeated football team. They're going to get better as this season goes along, and that's really the point. Nobody's a finished product in the NFL in September. So everyone, you know, you ask the New England Patriots, their organization tells you that, you know, they don't really know what they are until they basically hit Thanksgiving. But what do they do every single week? They win football games. It might not be the most impressive thing, but they go out there and they've done it better than anybody else. They just continue to stack up those W's. So for Carolina, Nick, I see it's too strong. They're right in the middle there. They're not a fraud. They're not an upper echelon team. They're a team, I give them credit. I think they're remarkably well coached. I couldn't agree with you more. I think they've got an unbelievable staff down there in Carolina. I think they've got playmakers on both sides of the football. I think Darnold's going to be an interesting storyline to follow all season long. I think it's one of those teams that you look at maybe at the end of the year or, you know, one of those four or five teams that were a non-playoff team a year ago that could be a playoff team this year. Because if you look at their schedule, if they're able to overcome the horn injury, which is going to be difficult to do, and McCaffrey being out the next couple of weeks, you look at their schedule, there are difficult games, obviously. You know, they got the Bucs. I'm not saying it's – but there is a way where you could see Carolina potentially in the NFC being a playoff team.
Better You Bet, BetQL, Nick Costos, Mark Malusis, Phenomenal Football Friday, dissecting Thursday Night Football. Panthers beat the Texans 24-9. I'm going to get into some player analysis in a second here, including like what to do fantasy-wise in the wake of the Christian McCaffrey injury. But I just want to say this about the Texans, because we should talk about the Texans a little bit here.
Yeah.
Two things that really stood out to me in this game. Number one, I thought the Texans coaching staff did Davis Mills absolutely no favors in this game last night. I thought Cully was way too conservative. Like punting on like on Carolina's side of the 40-yard line was ridiculous on a fourth and short. Buck and Aikman even called him out for that. You never hear Aikman like on the side of like analytics, quote unquote, right? And even Aikman's throwing Cully under the bus. And then what happens? Carolina goes down the field. Moose has a reference for the 90-plus yard touchdown. Game basically over at that point. I'm a fan of Houston Texans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly. I was kind of into Tim Kelly coming into the game last night. I think Kelly's going to put Mills in position to succeed. He didn't. Like, how do you get some of these possessions here, especially after what Mills showed you at the end of the first half, when you finally took the training wheels off Davis Mills, let him kind of cook a little bit. They get down the field. They score a touchdown. He looks good in these situations here. Run, run, pass. Two runs with Mark Ingram, third and long against the Panthers defense that knows the pass is coming, can pin the ears back, can get at that ass for Davis Mills. And what happens? They get at him. Four sacks in the game, a bunch more hits of Davis Mills. So, A, I thought the Texans coaching staff did Mills no favors, but B, Moose, I thought Davis Mills actually played pretty well in the game last night. People are killing Davis Mills for the stat line, like, okay, great. But did you actually watch the game when he actually had the opportunity to sling it a little bit? I'm not saying he's going to be great or that he's going to be able to cover the spread next week in Buffalo. And I don't know if they're going to give him the opportunity to, because they want to keep the training wheels on. I thought the Texans coaching staff actually like gave their rookie quarterback less of a chance to win last night instead of more. And that's a big indictment on them.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, Cully, it's taken him a long time to be a head coach in the NFL.
Should have been longer. Should have been never.
Nick, and I think we're seeing the reason why. He's not a head coach. I mean, he's just not. I mean, from the decisions that he had the previous week in Cleveland, and that's a Texan team that if Tyrod Taylor doesn't get hurt the previous week, Nick, I said it locally on WFAN, you know, the Texans easily could have beat Baker Mayfield in the Browns week two. They really could.
Play to win. Like, you got, there's no expectations. Well, like, the team's bad.
I agree
like,
with you.
To win.
I don't understand, and here's what bothers, like, I don't understand. Everybody in the NFL now has got kickers that can make kicks at 55, 56, 57, 58. Like, if you don't, then you're not doing yourself any service. So if you are inside your opponent's 40-yard line and it's a fourth and short, if you're at the 37 or 36 yard, like, what is the point of punting and gaining maybe,
he
like,
sent Sly out for a 53-yarder later, too. Like, to your point, like, if he can like, kick a 53-yarder, why can't he kick a 56-yarder? Like, what's the difference?
Exactly right. Play to win. You stink. The Texans aren't going anywhere. I mean, go out there. Put it all out on the line. This isn't managing the team. I mean, what are you doing?
Pathetic.
If you're David Culley, you're in your 60s. You're finally a head coach in the NFL. Stop
Punting.
Being cautious.
Yeah, David Culley, what a joke for the Texans. I thought Davis Mills actually played pretty well. And if like there was any indication that like they were going to let Davis Mills do his thing, and I'm not saying he's perfect. He's going to throw picks, I'm sure. He'll make bad decisions and like probably going to start at least another three games right until Tyrod Taylor is back from his injury. Yeah. They got to let this kid wing it a little bit. Like, run pass is not going to work with the rookie third round quarterback. It's just not going to work. So I thought the Texans did no favors for their rookie quarterback. Texans at the Bills next week. Good luck with that. We'll see what Josh Allen does on Sunday, but that profiles as just potential demolition for Buffalo, a smart coaching staff going up against David Cautious Culley and the Houston Texans. And the Panthers, like we said, on the road in Dallas next week in a really fascinating matchup. We'll see what Dallas does, obviously, Monday Night Football coming up against the Philadelphia Eagles. A couple fantasy and player-related notes from this game. I use the word awakening to talk about these receivers, right, that finally have woken up at some point in their career. The expectation's been that they would. And DJ Moore was really good last year, but this is DJ Moore on another level this year. It's like he puts on that number two. It's like putting on like the S for Superman, right, with the uniform number change. 8 for 126 on 12 targets. And the bang on DJ Moore has always been, doesn't get into the end zone. I got news for everybody. The touchdowns are coming for DJ Moore. Like, you don't get volume like this without getting into the end zone. Terrace Marshall last night, 4 for 48 on 5 targets. Robbie Anderson, 1 for 8 on 2 targets. It's just tough to trust anyone right now in this Carolina passing group outside of target hog, DJ Moore. I say hog like it's a bad thing, like he's awesome. Now with McCaffrey out, Chuba Hubbard, the rookie out of Oklahoma State, is going to get the first crack, no doubt about it. 11 for 52 last night. But Rolls-Royce Freeman, who like stinks, but like, he's going to be fantasy viable now. He should be picked up off waiver wires. Like, he's terrible, but he had 5 carries last night for 17 yards. Think it'll be a committee with Chuba and Royce. So both of these guys are fantasy pickups coming up next week. And for the Texans, Brandon Cooks, he's going to overcome bad quarterback play because his volume is going to be absolutely ridiculous. 9 for 112 on 11 targets, getting it done with Tyrod and Davis Mills. And Anthony Miller, 4 for 20 at a touchdown on 6 targets next week with no Danny Amendola, could be viable. Coming up next here, You Better You Bet with Costos and Melusis. Moose's MLB. How to bet Major League Baseball this weekend, including the Yankees and the Sox.
How should you bet tonight's player props? The prop king, Nick Costos, has your answers on You Better You Bet from BetQL.